Imagine you seeing color your whole life and then it just goes black and white out of nowhere. That's what our vibe was. Then it's like, okay, are we gonna lose each other now? Or are we gonna, you know, continue to grow like we would have if we would have had this baby?
That's New Eagles wide receiver Marquise Goodwin, recalling one of his family's most difficult moments. Goodwin is best known for instilling fear in NFL defensive backs with his game-breaking speed. But in the last 3 years, he's become something else. An advocate for parents who have lost their children. Today, with Father's Day around the corner, ESPN's Dave Fleming tells the Goodwin's remarkable story, a harrowing and hopeful journey towards parenthood. I'm Mina Kimes. It's Friday, June 19th. This is ESPN Daily, presented by Marathon. So, Dave, let's start here. Who is Marquise Goodwin?
Well, a lot of people know him as the fastest player in the NFL.
Deep ball down the middle. He's got a receiver wide open is Goodwin.
Blanche Goodwin at the 10. Now cuts to the middle at the 25, at the 30. He may go.
Side looking for Goodwin. He is open. He makes the catch. Touchdown! 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 Flash Goodwin, 43 yards.
He's a wide receiver previously with the Bills and the 49ers and now with the Eagles. But most of us, probably you included, remember that he hit a 4.27 40 at the 2013 Combine. He actually represented the U.S. in the 2012 Olympics in the long jump and became one of, I believe, only 8 Olympians to play in the NFL since 1980.
In chatting with him and getting to know him a bit, what did you learn about his upbringing?
He was raised by a single mom in Texas, and he was very upfront about the fact that, you know, he always wanted to kind of be for his own children what his own father didn't provide for him.
My biological father never was in the picture, not even one day. When I think of a man, I think of responsibilities at home for your wife and kids, something I've always aspired to be.
I mean, from a very young age, just sort of wanted to correct that part of his life. And you see it with he has a younger sister, Deja, who has cerebral palsy. And Marquise has always been sort of like a father figure to her.
She would slide down off the couch and I would pick her up and put her back on the couch. And I was like, she can't really like do anything for herself. You know, it was my job just to be her protector.
Always kind of volunteering to take care of her, to feed her, to hang out with her. I mean, he was a kid who would not sit still, but sometimes wouldn't go outside because his sister couldn't go outside with him and play.
So Marquise chooses to stay close to his mom and sister, running track, playing football at the University of Texas. Dave, how did his future wife, Morgan, come into the picture?
Morgan was a 9-time All-American for the Texas track team. She was a hurdler. People described it as a track and field version of Love and Basketball, which I think is kind of perfect.
Everybody knew who he was.
She just didn't care. That's what she wanted to say.
Yeah, I just really didn't care.
They are one of those couples that seems like they've known each other for 50 years. You know, they are just sort of, they're sort of tender and blunt with each other in this great sort of unapologetic, authentic way.
She's a great athlete. She beat me one time. Pissed me off.
He was so mad. He was like, what?
Didn't talk to her the whole rest of practice.
After a good career at Texas and the great combine performance you mentioned, Marquise was selected by the Buffalo Bills, pick 78 in the 2013 draft. What was life like for him and Morgan at that point?
They had never been to Buffalo before, and they were both used to Texas. So, you know, I think as Marquise sort of got adapted to life in the NFL, I think they grew as a couple. Marquise had mentioned, or his mom had mentioned, that he had always wanted a big family. He wanted 6 children. And I think when they were in Buffalo, they had already begun to think about starting their family. And then Marquise became one of the first puzzle pieces that Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch used to rebuild the 49ers. And they brought him from Buffalo to San Francisco, where he eventually signed a $20 million contract extension.
So in 2017, Marquise and Morgan go to San Francisco. What happens next?
Morgan gets pregnant. They start their family. And like any new parents, they go through this sense of relief when they get past the first trimester and everything's okay. And then during a routine checkup at 19 weeks, doctors discovered that Morgan's cervix had begun to open and that there was less than a centimeter left keeping the baby inside her womb.
Everything was looking great. And then all hell broke loose.
I said, well, I'm going to go home and be on bed rest and try to hang on as long as I could.
So the medical term for what Morgan had is called an incompetent cervix. And at this point, even with bed rest, they had only given the baby a 50-50 chance at survival. She was on bed rest, and Marquise, on the night before the 49ers played the Giants, he was given permission by the team to go stay with Morgan. At some point late on this night, Morgan winced and realized that the baby had begun to be prematurely born.
Wifey was like, I don't feel right. She went to use the restroom and the baby, like, sack started protruding out. And I'm like, this can't be happening. Like, this is crazy.
She was rushed to the hospital and they realized that because of the possibility of infection, now the baby's life and Morgan's life were at risk. And so they had to essentially terminate the pregnancy, and she had to give birth to baby Goodwin, who died shortly thereafter.
So all this is happening literally hours before Marquise is supposed to take the field for the Niners. What did he do?
The 49ers were playing the Giants, and all the way up until kickoff, Marquise still wasn't sure he could even function. You know, he had been up all night. He hadn't eaten. He wasn't with the team. And in the morning, it was game day, and she sort of out of the blue told Marquise to go play in the game and to do it for his son. The way he described it was, you know, he was hurting so bad, he realized that there was nothing on the football field that could hurt him worse than he already was feeling because of the death of their child. On 3rd and 8 at the 17, the 49ers broke the huddle. Marquise knew he was running a deep post, which is perfect for him because of his speed.
Beathard back to throw. Deep ball down the middle. He's got a receiver wide open is Goodwin. Makes the catch at the 40. Stiff arms Jackrabbit in for the touchdown. 83 yards.
The ball went in the air. He caught it at about midfield and shook the defender one time and then ran to the end zone where he basically just kind of collapsed.
Pray for the baby. Pray for Mo. My first touchdown of the season. It was a crazy moment.
Then it's an incredible scene because Morgan is back at the hospital and has their child in her arms, and she is watching the game and, you know, through tears, explaining to the child in her arms that's his daddy right there that just scored a touchdown.
Very emotional. Very emotional.
Dave, after Marquise and Morgan lost baby Goodwin, where did they go from there?
I think the way Marquise described it was it tore him to pieces. They were devastated. You know, they had already begun to sort of celebrate this child, and all their friends and family were sort of following along with them. And all of a sudden now they are grieving parents, and they felt like a lot of parents feel like they were sort of the only they were the only parents in the world that this had happened to.
I was mad at my body. I was embarrassed. People were waiting for us to have kids.
I think they realized, right, that the only other person in the world who understood what they were dealing with was each other. And so they grew closer and tighter as a couple as they figured out how to survive the death of their son. And then they also looked for spiritual answers. They looked for medical answers. And Morgan then was given a procedure. It's called a transabdominal cerclage, which is basically a stitch that's done laparoscopically to help keep the cervix closed for the entire pregnancy. And so she went in and had that done. And then the following year, they were pregnant again. And this time, she was pregnant with twin boys.
They must have been overjoyed.
Oh, yeah. It's not hard to understand how they both thought, oh, my gosh, this is sort of like a karmic makeup, right? It's mm-hmm. like we lost one child and now we've been blessed with two. And now, okay, everything that we went through, the grief that we're still feeling, it all sort of quote unquote makes sense and everything's going to work out fine.
What happened next?
So there are two ways to do these. They're called TACs, which is transabdominal cerclage. There are two ways to do them. You can do them laparoscopically, which is less invasive. And there's also one where you can do it surgically, where the surgeon literally ties those knots with his own hands. The problem with the laparoscopic tack that Morgan got, it was loose. And because there were twins now, the weight on her cervix was even greater, and the same thing happened. The cerclage didn't hold, and the babies, they began to lower down into the birth canal, and when that happens, it's almost always fatal, and because of the risk of infection, they have to deliver the babies.
Where was Marquise as this was happening?
So Marquise had just landed in Tampa Bay with the 49ers. They were going to play the Buccaneers when he got the call that Morgan was back in the hospital and that the doctors were going to, the plan was that they were going to remove the cerclage, they were going to deliver baby A, and then they were going to try and keep baby B in her womb to continue to develop. Well, Marquise didn't think twice. He turned around and got back on a plane and flew all the way then back across the country, landed in San Jose just in time for what was supposed to be life-saving surgery. The problem is when they did it, baby A was delivered and died. And during the surgery to remove the cerclage, then baby B's amniotic sac was punctured and he had to be delivered as well. Neither baby then survived. And in fact, I think this is the low point for the Goodwins. Baby B survived for about an hour after birth, and Marquise and Morgan took turns holding him as he fought for his life until his heart gave out.
What did they tell you about that night?
I think that they were both, they thought that they had sort of gone as low as they could go with baby Goodwin, and I think that this really sent them into a deep, deep despair.
Leaving the hospital and walking out empty-handed, it hurts. Marquise was very helpful. He always made sure that I knew that he didn't blame it on me and he didn't want me to blame it on myself.
And it made me feel like the bottom of the earth, the scum on the earth, because I can't say anything or do anything that's gonna make her feel better. That's one of the hardest things for me to deal with. When you want something so bad, come home empty-handed again. That's tough.
All right, after the break, let's talk about how Marquise and Morgan decided to start helping others and what happened next in their story. We're presented by Marathon. Now, more than ever, we have to look out for each other and count on each other. And Marathon wants you to know that you can count on them for high-quality, top-tier gas. While we are aware travel might not be top of mind, there might be times where you have to hop in the car to run an errand. Maybe you have to drop off groceries and supplies to your family. Maybe you've become an amazing baker and want to drop off a few dozen cookies on your best friend's porch. Or maybe you just want to drive around to all of your friends' homes simply to wave from a safe distance. But before you head out, remember to fuel up at Marathon. Marathon gasolines are formulated with STP additives. They keep your vehicle running at peak performance by optimizing fuel economy, removing those ugly deposit buildups, and reducing emissions. Remember, wherever you need to go, the people at Marathon are behind you all the way. Marathon, fueling the American spirit. Dave, how would you describe the culture around infant loss in this country?
I think to people who have not experienced this, it is such a tragic and taboo topic that we are almost still incapable of even speaking about it to each other, to family members, to friends. This happens so frequently. I think 1 in 5 pregnancies end in miscarriage, and there are almost a million miscarriages or neonatal losses every year. And yet we still can't we can't talk about it. And the problem is that creates an isolation and a stigma for the parents. You already feel like you're the only person in the world that this has happened to. And then when people won't talk to you about it or discuss it or discuss your grief, it adds to the burden that grieving parents already feel.
How did going through this twice impact Morgan in particular?
I think a turning point for grieving parents, and especially the Goodwins, and in particular Morgan, right? It's the tiniest ray of hope is when you figure out a meaning for the suffering that you're going through. And for Morgan, it was this idea of being open and public and vocal about this topic that people normally consider taboo or secret or silent. And so once she figured out that that was going to be sort of her mission, she had a purpose. And that's when they began to turn the corner, and she vowed to sort of to be very open in public through her blog and her YouTube channel and just social media in general. She was going to, without shame or embarrassment, just share everything that they were going through and everything that they had suffered.
Us sharing our story through social media gave other people encouragement going through miscarriage or loss or stillbirth. Get back up and keep pushing.
That's part of my healing process, just like getting it out, talking about it. It actually helped strengthen me. A lot more people deal with this than I thought, even people on my team who had never said anything to anybody about it.
And this might be my favorite part of their story, because once they did that and put it out into the world, it was that community that then got back to them with the solution for how to fix her cervix.
What was that solution?
So the community of grieving parents or parents, fellow parents who had lost children, especially in this way with this particular problem with the cervix, they are the ones then who reached back in turn to the Goodwins and made them aware of Dr. Haney, who is a world-renowned specialist in Chicago, who performs the trans-subdominal cerclages, but he does it surgically to ensure that the stitches, he does 4 stitches, will hold the cervix throughout the entire pregnancy. And he has a success rate after the first trimester of above 99%. And when the Goodwins realized this and went to visit him, I mean, they couldn't get on the plane fast enough. And they were off in March of 2019 to have Dr. Haney perform this type of surgery on Morgan.
So how did it go?
It went great. Morgan said from then on that this pregnancy, the entire pregnancy, which they let us follow them throughout the entire pregnancy, it just, everything just felt different to her. She wasn't a nervous wreck and she felt confident moving forward. And, you know, before they knew it, they had passed 19 weeks, which was really a big deal for them, a big milestone for them. And every day then past 24 weeks, the baby becomes more and more viable outside the womb if anything were to happen and they would have to deliver.
Heartbeat is good, 153. Nice and strong.
Are we sure that's the leg?
This is the leg.
And that's really where we picked up in following the Goodwins as they were kind of getting closer and closer to this birth.
Given everything they had been through already, Dave, I kind of can't believe they even let you guys follow them. I mean, it just seems so terrifying.
I agree. And that's funny. That's one of the first things that we, was one of the first things I brought up was like, well, what happens if, God forbid, something goes wrong? And, you know, they were just committed from the beginning to sharing their story. In the grand scheme of things, they see it as one of the reasons that these things happened to them was so that they could share their strength and their story and their solutions with the world at large, where honestly, a lot of parents who are going through this, they you turn to the world in general and there's nothing out there. There's nothing out there to support you or to mention that you're going to be okay, you're going to make it, or here's a solution. And the Goodwins were committed. I mean, they were 100% committed to filling that void for other parents, millions of parents that they'll never meet or even know.
Okay, when we come back, Dave, let's talk about what it was like following the Goodwins during the final chapter of their long journey towards parenthood. While Morgan was pregnant again and you guys were following her, what was happening in Marquise's NFL career?
Yeah, it was an interesting side note to the story in that when baby Goodwin died, he went on to have his best season as an NFL wide receiver. And then the opposite began to happen as we followed him, whereas as he was getting closer and closer to fulfill his dream of becoming a father, he was slipping further and further down the depth chart of the 49ers as they were making their way to the Super Bowl. He had had a procedure on his knee and his foot, and I think he was hoping that they would save a roster spot for him if he could get healthy in time for the playoff run, but they didn't want to risk it. But man, I have to tell you, we were there when he was put on injured reserve, and we were there when he watched his team make it to the Super Bowl without him. And never once did he lose perspective on what was important. I mean, he was always talking about Morgan and the baby were his number one priority, and football would take care of itself.
So the Super Bowl, which Marquise watched from home, was February 2nd. 17 days later, Dave, a much more important event happened in his life. What was it?
This was the birth of their daughter. We were actually there with them when they left for the hospital at, it was before 5 a.m.
I'm anxious, man. Let's go.
I feel like I'm about to play in a game or something.
I'm just ready to get there, get this thing cracking. It's been a long time coming.
Yes, it is.
I'm excited.
I mean, with everything going on, and you would think how nervous and excited and, gosh, any new parents, there's just so much going on. And they, on top of that, let us follow them to the hospital and stick around for the birth of their daughter.
What was that like?
It was emotional. I mean, honestly, it was kind of funny. The rest of us all, we were like nervous parents too, just sort of waiting. No one knew if it was a boy or a girl. They had kept that a secret. And so We were all like grandparents and uncles waiting in the waiting room for the announcement. And I'll never forget. So we found out that they had had their baby and that Morgan was fine. We saw her mom in the lobby and all of us were like, you know, is it a boy or a girl? And she was like, I'm not telling. You got to find out for yourselves. So we were waiting out in the hallway with the TV crew and the TV producers and stuff. And, you know, one of the things, I think this is a unique thing for parents who have lost children. It's hard maybe for other parents to understand. What the Goodwins wanted more than anything else was to hear their baby cry. You know, they had been struck by the silence that they had suffered through for 3 years. And so what they really wanted was to hear this baby come out and be healthy and alive and cry and sort of announce itself to the world. And as we were waiting to go into their room through the door, you could hear the baby crying. And honestly, the rest of us all were crying right along with her.
What was it like to witness them in that moment?
It was like a time machine for me. I think one of the reasons that they picked me for this story is that my wife and I experienced the exact same thing that the Goodwins had been through. We lost our son Noah during childbirth. And almost a year to the day our daughter Allie Hope was born. Seeing the happy ending for them, it brought back a lot of emotions for me and it made the whole experience really amazing for me to. I felt privileged to be there.
Oh my God. Oh my God. It's a girl.
My heart is going a million miles an hour.
It still makes me emotional. It made me emotional to write about it. It made me emotional to think about it, and to even just go through my notes, to just see the relief, just the joy and the peace. It was just physically embodied in Marquise and Morgan and their daughter all sitting on the hospital bed together.
Oh, my little princess. Oh, baby.
Wow. Murray.
Yes.
There's so much bad stuff going on in the world today. It was something that will carry me along, I know personally, for a long, long time.
Thanks so much, Dave. Happy Father's Day.
It was my pleasure. Thanks for doing this.
Marquise, Morgan, and their now 4-month-old daughter, Murray, will be spending their first Father's Day together at their home in Dallas. I'm Mina Kimes, and this has been ESPN Daily. This week, in honor of Father's Day, we'd like to thank the important dads in our lives. Patrick Allison, Glenn Craig, Russ Dinalo Sr., Tim Farkas, Maurice Hyacinth, Ed Johns, Pete Kimes, William Martin, Bill Nantel, David Tennant, Brendan Tennant, Michael Tuminello, Jim Vale, and Clarence Williams. I'll talk to you Monday.